So first, I just want to begin with props to Chia and Linda and all the folks who've been working on the literature and all the behind the scenes stuff now for World Service. It's quite a change from how things were, I don't know, 5 years or so ago when we set out to try and make a OA a little more friendly to secular folks. So I want to begin a little bit with an apology, and that is, I was invited, knowing that I'm having trouble with my abstinence, 4 days at the moment, but was told that there are things to learn from every story, and this meeting values honesty. So I'm going to do that, and I invite, in that spirit, I invite you to come after the stay after the meeting, so that we can talk a little bit about some of the resources and things that we've developed. As seculars in OA that are not conference approved. So the points I want to hit today is one that I'm a little unusual in that I'm kind of a late onset compulsive overeater, and I'll talk about that. And then I want to talk about the service. Secular service has been very helpful to me in staying, getting, and maintaining my abstinence, and some insights that I got in preparing for this meeting. Will, you're in charge of appearances. I have no idea what's going out on the screen because it's beyond my ability to manage. So, I would, unlike a lot of folks in OA, I didn't have a problem with overeating growing up. I was athletic. I was a skinny kid. Not an issue. I mean, like a lot of us who end up with addictions, my mom was abusive early, physically, emotionally, verbally, whatever. Not my dad. He was the instigator of it all. He was back from combat in World War II and was, pretty unavailable to my mom, and she took it out on me. But no, I didn't turn to food. I mean, actually, things got easier. I was the first born, and I had three sisters pretty quick. It's an Irish Catholic family, and I managed to survive pretty good until, pressures later. I don't know what. Anyway, I turned. I think masturbation was my first kind of addiction. But by the end, I decided I'd be the best little boy there ever was as a way to meet my mom's expectations, and I did. And as soon as I found out, I was the captain of the football team, valedictorian, all those things. And as soon as I found out I was going to get into a fancy school with a lot of money, I started blackout binge drinking. And so I did that for the next 10 years, culminating in, I mean, I was able to play football and fancy schools. You don't have to go to class. That's interesting. And but when I came back from combat in Vietnam, the day I was due to report into duty, I switched almost effortlessly. Wasn't aware. I knew I couldn't keep drinking the way I'd been drinking, certainly not for the last 6 weeks after combat. And I just started every night coming home from this duty station I had, eating too much, a bunch of sandwich, a bunch of chips, a bunch of soda. And I put on about 70 pounds in the next year and a half and really essentially stopped drinking. So for me, it was I switched compulsions. We have a lot of folks in who have AA in their, who have drinking in their background. There are meetings tend to have a lot of them. I think the secular meetings might even have more. So many of you in this group may be familiar with that story. And so I've been struggling ever since to get that weight off originally and keep it off. And it took me about 10 years of yo-yo dieting to find OA. And so I get in the how version of OA, which is a very disciplined, structured approach to eating, and still out there. I don't know that there are any secular how meetings. It may be a contradiction in terms, but I don't think so. Actually, it wasn't. it's not as bad as some, or the emphasis on religious kind of approaches. But so I was able to lose that weight and more within a couple of years. But I haven't really been able to maintain long abstinence ever since then. I kind of, I've never had a full year of abstinence back to back. Often I'll have, days, weeks, months before bouncing back. But one of the, and what works for me when I'm abstinent is the what some of us have started calling kind of the four pillars. Like, you need social support, you need a food plan, you need self-care, and you need service. And I do a lot of all that. And the most recent kind of successful stretch of abstinence I had was when we were setting up the secular kind of community. And so it's really that service can be a very, very important tool for abstinence. Like, I've got 4 days so I could make this. But, it got my head back in the game in a little way. And so, in the process of helping to set up Secular Way, the service board, and some of the other work, I lost 50 pounds, and I was abstinent for 3 or 4 years, and things were wonderful. And that I set up 6 secular meetings, chair the service board, got it set up, picked the name, got recognized on the OA website, and been played a useful role in keeping the balance with the formal OA hierarchy. And those of us who have secular beliefs, which have not always been an easy fit. And so, in preparation for this meeting, I was going over, as you might imagine, I've got a Google Doc full of, stories that I've written to share at different meetings and so forth. And I was going over and I said, the last, 8 months or so, I moved times of 3 time zones. It upset my program. But prior to that, I was doing the same strong program. Every morning I'd either go to a meeting or have an hour with my sponsor, doing service, all, all the ch food plan, all the check-in, all the boxes, and yet I put on 30 pounds in 3 years. And as I was writing about it, I was kind of like, well, what have I been doing different? And all of a sudden it was like, bong. For 40 years around, actually before I even came to OA, I've been involved in a co-counseling community, which has a heavy emphasis on catharsis. And so for 40 years, I've been essentially doing therapy. I'd spend at least an hour each way, going into deep, feeling, crying, laughing, all that stuff, raging. And I'd go sometimes, usually for to another meeting once a week, a support group, often a men's support group, at least once a month, maybe once a month, but other support groups as well. And every other month or so, I'd go for a residential weekend. And 4 or 5 times, I'd go for a whole week where people would listen to me for 20 hours. So I had this big sort of support system, and I got in an internal political thing. I was asked to. The guy I was, anyhow, I was asked not to lead this thing that I was leading, and I kind of felt sort of disowned, and so I stopped it. So it's like all that, it's like somebody, if somebody had been in therapy with the same therapist for 40 years, an hour, maybe an hour a day or something, whatever the mathematical equivalent would be, and then they stop suddenly, and then they put on 30 pounds. It would not take a rocket scientist to say, hey, you need to do something. Either you go back to what you were doing or find something to fill that, that sort of therapeutic, what we would call social support, space in your life. It's not surprising that you've gotten where you've gotten. So, that's kind of what I learned in preparation for coming here, and for me, and I guess this might be, I hope this doesn't violate the rules too much, Chia, but for me, that tool of whatever you'd call it, it was very helpful. It wasn't useful. It never helped me stop overeating particularly. I didn't it just didn't there didn't seem to be a direct connection between the two. I've spent time really focusing on it, and it didn't work particularly. And I guess for that reason, it was the last place I looked as a possible clue. So I have no idea whether it's what I need to do, but I am optimistic about it. How long have I gone on? Well,
With 9 minutes left, Jim.
that's my whole story. I guess I could cycle back a little over it and see what my highlights from past. Yeah, it's funny. I tend to be someone who doesn't. It's hard for me to carry the ball when I'm speaking, and I apologize for not being as well able to set it up technologically so that I would time it better. During that time in OA, I've gone to two or three meetings every week. I've always had a sponsor. Pin, maybe that, there we go. There's my smiling face. And I haven't shared my pictures yet. So I always had a sponsor. Met with him at least once a week. In recent years, it's been 3 times a week, an hour. We still do an hour a week, and we check in by audio tapes back and forth because we're on different time zones. I've always had a sponsor. I haven't sponsored a lot. The one thing that I didn't talk about was, and I'll show my beautiful pictures so you can all. What do I have to do? I have to share my screen. So that's me as a young, skinny little kid. Like I said, there I was. And then how do I shrink that up? And then this is me in Vietnam, still skinny. And this is me on the way up to 260. And this is me back when I had lost the weight after doing that service in the secular service board. So I should talk a little bit about the secular side of things, and that is one of the things that was hard for me in OA, as I'm sure it has been for many of you, was the fact that I was an atheist. I was raised Catholic, stopped believing somewhere in high school, I guess, and stopped attending religious service in college, and became very materialistic in my kind of philosophy and my political life. And people kept talking about how God made them abstinent, and I was like, what? It's kind of like, for me, it was like, what? I thought bad thoughts about these wonderful people, and that was supposed. I had a sponsor one time who told me, and I repeatedly was told that if I didn't believe in God, I was never going to get abstinent, which could be discouraging. And then periodically somebody would come up, and the next line would be, "And I can save your life. I can, if you join my church, all will be well." The high point, I think, was actually when my sponsor, who was a rabbi, no offense to, I mean, Christians can be as silly. But he told me that it had been scientifically proved that the big book had been written by God, that the analysis of the literature, who knows why, but somebody had come to the conclusion that Bill W. was not capable of writing the book on himself, and therefore it had been proven that God guided his hand, and that's what we were following. Well, for an atheist, that's kind of a tough sell. That's kind of a like, let me out of the room, please. You know, which way? Ah! And so, frankly, a lot of the, some of the growth in secular OA it results from the fact that I started reading about secular AA. You know, that there were, it turns out there's a whole world out there of people who are successfully coping with an addiction of using the 12 steps or just using the fellowship, like in laid out in the yellow book of AA. And it was like I had my Bill W. moment. It was like, ah, you know, look, it's out there. And so the question was how to set it up. And I was telling this story to a friend of mine, and she said, "Oh, you, how'd you lose all that weight, Jim?" And I said, "Well, I'm in OA, and you know, did a 12-step kind of maneuver." And she said, "Well, I can't do that because I don't believe in God." I said, "No, there's secular approaches to it out there." She says, "Oh, good. Is there one locally?" "No, there isn't." She said, "Well, will you set one up for me?" Well, you know, in OA, when somebody asks you to do service, there's only one answer you're supposed to give, which is why I'm here this morning, actually, Chia. And so we set up a meeting. So at that time, it turned out there were six meetings listed on that meeting's still going. I don't know how long it's been now, going on 10 years, I guess. And I went, there were six other meetings listed, so I called up the contact people because I'm an organizer by choice of profession. I quit being a college professor long ago to be a social change activist. And, you know, I found Jenny out on the West Coast. And so Jenny and I started strategizing and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we now there are, I don't know, 20 or 30 secular meetings. I set up six of them. You know, and the pandemic sort of facilitated that because it made Zoom meetings a lot easier. Because, you know, typically there aren't, no offense, but like for men, there aren't like a lot of self-identified atheists in most meetings. And you have to kind of stretch a little bit to find that you make an affinity group. And Zoom made it easily. Here we are, you know, long after the pandemic, and most of us probably don't have secular OA meetings in our home communities face to face that we can go to. And so for me, that began kind of a 3-year kind of, how do I say this tactfully, compulsive focus on building a secular community. And, you know, to be respectful to this meeting and my important, my social secular service board member who recruited me to speak today, I just say that there's a whole lot of stuff that we have come up with as seculars in OA that we can't share in traditional OA settings. And so if you want to hear about that, I'll talk more about that, have some websites for that, which we can share after the meeting. That's in OA, in 12 steps, there's always that, you know, there's the meeting, and then there's the after meeting. And in the after meeting, you can recommend real estate agents, you can recommend, you know, Medicaid, you can talk about anything. You're not kind of as, and that's true in just in general, and it's a little more true in OA. And so I'll be talking about some of that stuff after I finish the speaking, which according to the little clock, I think I'm about to do. Is that right, Will? How much time is left?
Yeah, we got about 15 seconds.
Great. Well, thanks for the opportunity to be able to think about my own abstinence, and hopefully some of this has been useful, and I'm happy to stay and talk about the outside stuff afterwards. Thank you.